Okay, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your co-host, Brian Stavely. As always, I'm joined by Justin Cook. I think he's just running a few minutes late tonight. And we also have a special guest tonight from Canada, Brian Hamilton. Brian, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, when you started to get into the research and what type of things you're looking into?
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I've been... I guess I'll call it awake now for just shy of 4 years. I was actually having lunch with a friend of mine, and he started talking about all this, what I thought was just sheer nonsense. But I trusted him for some reason. And he said, dude, do me a favor, just pick one topic, look into it. And if you think it's crap, then it's crap. But if not, then, you know, look deeper. So my personality is that if I discover something, I need to know as much as I can. And he said, just look into Agenda 21. So I Googled Agenda 21 and began, and I think I was up for, you know, at the computer, I'm guessing for 9-10 hours straight. And one thing led to another, and it took me as far back as, you know, when I started getting into the history of where this all began with the Knights Templar, the Rosicrucians, the Knights of Malta, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the history of the Illuminati as we know them today, and just continued to seek and to search. And I ask myself, you know, two questions all the time. What if, you know, when I discover something that I seem is a little bit off, I ask myself, what if it's true? And then I dig deeper. A case in point would be a few weeks ago when I ran into a blog of yours on the 9/11 information. And I was like a dog on a bone with that for probably 3 days straight. And, you know, fascinating stuff.
Fascinating.
Scary and fascinating.
It's scary and fascinating. And I mean, even if, let's just say, you know, only a certain percentage of it is true. I mean, a good percentage of it certainly seems to be. And there's some scary stuff in there that a lot of Americans, I mean, they just wouldn't understand. I mean, they couldn't even comprehend it, you know. I had no idea about any of the stuff, Brian, until like a year and a half ago. I had no idea about being awake, anything. And I stumbled onto a 9/11 video. And that's pretty much my main thing. I know we're going to do other stuff tonight. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of a slew of things. But which blog of mine was it that you came across while we're on it? Was it the Illusion into 9/11 blog, or was it something?
Yeah, like, and then it was I think you posted September Clues, and your banner or your intro to it was, you know, this is the only movie that's even come close to discussing the what I would call the true truth. And so then I began to dig deeper into that. And when you understand why or how the truth movement could be led astray by a few shills that, you know, have literally drank the proverbial Kool-Aid and have, you know, worship at the altar of, I'll name names, AJ and Ick and all these guys, then all of a sudden, you know, what better way for the elite to have a complete and total database of everyone that's sort of a member of the movement, so to speak, is a member of InfoWars, is a member of all these different websites. And all they need to do is just say, okay, so this is what we need to do, and here's how we're going to do it. And all it's the whole mass hysteria could start instantly going completely in the wrong direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
The one thing I know is that the sound of an open mind slamming shut are the two words I know. And the most dangerous in my journey anyway, the most dangerous attitude I can have for myself is I know. And as soon as I say those words, my mind begins to close to any other options. And I'm glad that, you know, and I'm running into guys like you that say, well, what if, you know, how about? And so when I have a look at, you know, the September Clues was a start, but then, you know, there's so much more information on that topic online, and thank God we still have access to that kind of information for now. I have a history in steel construction, and so when you're doing, you know, and I know engineers, I know all kinds of steel fabricators, steel erectors, and they've all bought into this progressive collapse and all the rest. But when you do the just simple grade 4 arithmetic, there's absolutely not a snowball's chance in hell that those buildings could have failed, and if they did fail, they couldn't have failed the way they did.
And if they did, wouldn't they be tearing down every skyscraper because no fire department's ever going to go in a tower again? I mean, they'd have to rebuild
Well,
every building in all these cities. I mean, maybe that's a stretch, but you would see some of that. I mean, if the buildings really came down like that. I mean, that's just a little side note anyways, but no, I'm glad that I'm running in, lately I've been running into a lot of good people like yourself too, and there's, people that are open-minded, and you have to, I think the main thing that people, whether it's 9/11, GMO food, Illuminati music, rituals, whatever we want to talk about tonight, any of the topics, you have to be open-minded enough to look at every side of it, whether you think it's bullshit or not. And sometimes if you don't, you don't see all the evidence. I went down so many 9/11 bullshit theories that are totally wrong, that were total misinfo, but I pulled little pieces of facts out of there that I realized that pointed me in different directions and made me realize certain people were frauds. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying, and I, there's so many people, including myself, because I, it's the old adage, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So much of the stuff like Endgame and the fall of the Republic but the Obama deception, so much of that information, I mean, that helped me incredibly, especially early on. It scared the crap out of me to begin with when I first realized, like, wow. Then I got into the whole dot thing. Oh no, I'm a yellow dot. Now what? And now I'm more, I guess I'll call it anger, not hysterical, but it's like, you know what? I kind of feel like Noah must have felt when he was building the ark. And
Yeah.
there's not a, when you take a look at the number of people compared to, the very small percentage of people that actually know what's going on. I went to see the Hunger Games the other night, and I sat there in that theater, and I felt sick to my stomach. And all these people are there being entertained by this movie, and then I'm saying to myself, guys, like, this is you in the not too distant future. Like, do you have any idea? That if Hollywood is producing it, it's propaganda, it's desensitizing to the psyche, and it's all basically the agenda. Whether it's Contagion, whether it's Hunger Games, whatever. Pick the Men in Black 3 that's coming out now with the false
Yep.
alien invasion. Blah blah blah.
It's all
It's all,
propaganda. That's what Hollywood was set up for. People don't understand that. People, some people understand it about the news a little bit. Oh, it looks like Justin just signed into Skype, so we should be able to get him in the call in a second. I was just sending his friend over to his house.
Knock the store down.
I swear to God, I was.
That's hilarious.
Well, now where was I just saying? I just lost my place because of that.
What were you talking about, Hollywood and the propaganda machine and the thing that really, I guess I was shocked at first. Most of it is really shocking, but when you take a look at the depth of control and the agenda behind that control, but when you look at, I think it was, I forget what the actual numbers are, so I hate quoting numbers, but let's call it 30 years ago, 3 decades ago, there was over 50 major corporations that owned newspapers, radio stations, television stations, etc. And so there was a real diverse sort of a cross section. News used to be truth; it was factual, fact based, so on and so forth. Now it's boiled down to 5 major corporations that control what you and I see, read, hear, and for all intents and purposes are informed if we believe the mainstream, whatever you want to call it. So that's 5 CEOs and 5 boards of directors that are saying this is what the public are going to hear and see and read and be entertained by. That's scary.
That's real scary. People don't realize how, you know what I mean? How really just, it's not this. People have this notion too, and this applies to all issues. They have this notion out there. Justin, you're here now?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, would you have a little trouble with the Skype?
Yeah, a little bit. I ended up falling asleep after I went out to eat, so.
I figured, all right. What was I gonna say? Yeah, with the man, I just totally lost my spot. people have no idea with, you know, with all these issues, just, you know, how real controlled it is, and the information that you're getting. It's there's people out there that think the news have a responsibility to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Do you know that? I mean, there's a lot of people like that. Like, probably more than half the people out there. Like, they think there's, like, a liability. Like, they think they could actually go and maybe actually get a lawyer and sue the news if they caught the news lying to them about something.
Yeah.
And they expect them, like, you know, them all, like, Fox News, like, you know, whatever it is, they expect that, like that they're all, like, you know, like the left thinks that MSNBC and CNN are right, and the right thinks, you know, Fox News is right, but they just can't imagine that they're being lied to, like, as on the scale they are.
Yeah, well, before you came on, Brian was talking a little bit how it's good that, you know, he met up with guys like us, and, you know, he read my 9/11 blog and was kind of really taken back by it, and you know, I'm glad that people are starting to really, you know, start to hear our show and hear our information. I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm seeing it on the internet all over the place. A lot of people are talking about it.
What I run into a lot too is a kind of a defeatist mentality where, you know, a few of my friends are awake and their attitude is, well, what can we do? Right. And there's an old story of an old man. He was walking down the beach and this huge storm had happened the night before, and the tide had washed in these hundreds of thousands of starfish along the beach. And this young boy was there picking up one starfish at a time and throwing it back into the ocean. And the old man walked up to him and said, like, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm saving starfish. And the old man says, well, but you're not going to save all these starfish. You're not going to make any difference at all. And the little boy picked up another starfish and he says, but I'm going to make all the difference to this one. And he threw that one back in. And at this point, I'm kind of, you know, we're in my attitude is we're kind of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. The boat is headed hell bent for an iceberg. It's now my attitude is, prepare for the inevitable. I, you know, the Illuminati, the elite, whatever we want to call them, the whole, I mean, there's so many different facets to this. We could, I mean, I'd be on air for 3 days straight and still not even scratch the surface. But with the old, you know, like Yick is talking about this mass spiritual awakening, and that's going to, you know, Age of Aquarius and all of that. And the New Age agenda is all part of their program.
Right.
It's all developed and by these people. They're all like peace, one love, you know.
Yeah, theosophy.
Yeah. You know, and so when you get into that, like the spiritual, the physical, the emotional through controlling, you know, it's like with the entertainment out of Hollywood and whatnot, no matter how bad the economy gets, people, like the research back in the last depression, people still went to movies because they could escape for that hour and a half. And mm-hmm. And that's what people are doing right now is that they're, you know, they're escaping and just looking for anything positive. And then quite frankly, I would say that 99.9% of the population are completely oblivious to what's going on. Like there's a really, really small percentage of people that know the truth.
I would say it's around 10 to 15% that have an idea, and then I would say it's really only 1 to 5% that really know, you know, and I think the rest of them, you know, they don't see the agenda behind things, and that's the problem. Yeah. Is that, you know, they think it's just greed, or it's just when you know, greed.
Justin, you might cut out for a second.
The greed is one thing, and I agree. The line that Justin was going on and I agree with is too, that when I thought I knew the truth and then I ran into your blog on 9/11, and then I started thinking, okay, so if this is what really happened and that there were hardly, if any, deaths on 9/11, and let's assume that there were, but for the most part, the even the truth movement story of what happened that day is false. Why? You know, and again, those two words, what if, that all of these people that are in the AJ boat and following along that pipeline, they can be completely led astray. I mean, if I post something that's anti-AJ online, I get crucified. You know, it's like, oh, how dare you? He's and he does it, but it's like I was thinking on my way
and
back
he's
home.
One of the
I was
biggest
down.
gatekeepers of all of them. I mean, he's one of the first ones people should be able to figure out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that and that's why I'm just gonna disconnect Justin from the call and reconnect him because he's having a little difficulty. Let me see. Justin, are you back? Justin? I'll wait for him to sign back in. He has a little issue sometimes. Brian, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
I'm pretty sure the audience could hear you fine. And when you start to look into these things, and these are the things they don't want you to look into about 9/11, about maybe this was fake, maybe these people aren't real. And the more and more and more you look, the more and more you find, and it all points in the same direction. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable how much we're lied to, and it's just fear-mongering. And it's racism, honestly. It's not just fear-mongering. Yeah. This whole fake 9/11 that they pulled off, I don't know if you totally, you know, believe everything I wrote on my blog, but, you know, I do believe that, you know, maybe there are 30 to 40 people that took some extra money and relocated it to help build some back identities. But I'm telling you, 3,000 people didn't die in those towers. And there's just no proof of it anywhere. And and we have the government with their official footage doctored. I mean, or whatever you guys want to call it, fake, doctored, whatever words you want to use. They're animating airplanes on there, all this other types of stuff. If you look at it enough, guys, it's undeniable, and they try and keep you away from it. Why is that? Why does the truth movement all have a concerted effort to keep you away from all of those informations, or the CGI, or the fake victims? Because that's the real stuff. I'm sorry.
Well, what people tend not to realize, and I was thinking on my way home, I was having Mother's Day dinner with my mother tonight, and a wolf in sheep's clothing does not look like a wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf in sheep's clothing looks like a sheep, sounds like a sheep, until it becomes the wolf that it was, you know. But they wait for the right time to strike, and that's in anything, whether it's in the wild or whatever. But my question, I guess, that I had to ask myself is, and when I was reading your blog on the 9/11, and then when you factor in all of the other components, like, for instance, 2012 and whether the world's going to end on the Mayan calendar, I'm not really a firm believer, and yes, it will. I think that things are going to be different, and I think that the elite are going to use that as a tremendous platform. But I do and have been looking into – since New Year's Eve, when Gaga dropped the Illuminati ball, and I don't know whether you've looked into that, that ball that was dropped on Times Square this year was fashioned out of thousands, some say as many as 10,000 individual pyramids that were all sequentially numbered. So that thing was disassembled, and there's a bunch of elite and whoever, they all have a little piece of that pie. They all have a sequentially numbered pyramid with an all-seeing eye of Horus in it or on it, as a memento of the year 2012 being ushered in. And then you follow that up with Madonna's Baphomet ritual at the halftime at the Super Bowl, the black mask performed by Nicki Minaj and all of that.
Oh, my God. Did you see her come down with the guy that looked like the Pope?
Well, yeah, you know, and dressed in black, and the Pope is that was all, like, pretty evil stuff.
Yeah,
every one of these major events that they have, you know, Super Bowl, Olympics, these are rituals, and that's what they do.
Exactly what they are, rituals, not performances, rituals.
These people are energy vampires. I've said it before, but, you know, if anyone hasn't heard, you know, they prey off all the people that are unsuspecting and giving all their, you know, their good energy to this performance, when in reality it's just a Kabbalistic ritual, or, you know, or some type of occult ritual, mystery schools or whatever, you know. And the sad thing is that, you know, that's people don't realize it. And, you know, they never will, but that's what these, you know, somehow or another, these people actually. Wow, what was that?
I don't know what happened. Did we cut out? We're on now.
Yeah, dude, that was...
Could you hear me? Did you hear what I said to you, Justin?
No, on your end, I heard a loud like car horn sound for a good 30 seconds. That's how I'd best describe it. I've heard it before
That was the Titanic hitting another iceberg.
Yeah, we had
or the Olympic.
Yeah, a little technical problem tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I know. See, that's another thing, too. I went there about a year ago. And the Olympic in dry dock and yeah, that's a piece of work, that one too. Good old JP Morgan and the boys.
Yep.
There's just no end. Like that's the thing is when, you know, for the inquiring mind to use the term, but when a guy starts, like if you want to be informed, thank God for the internet and that we still have access in, you know, for now, at least until Big Brother says otherwise, but it's all there for the taking. But you know, now if you read that on the internet, it can't be true.
Right.
Why? You know, that's really the only place I ever find the truth. And there's a lot of, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of disinformation online, but there's a few trusted sources that I've been able to come up with. I dated an elite briefly, and it was quite weird because some of the stuff that she shared with me and the whole with the ushering in, like these guys are behind schedule. They wanted to have things accomplished a lot sooner than, but you know, there's the odd person that is awake and that's slowing them down. You know, they can't just, it's like Kissinger, I think it was Rockefeller, was quoted, all we need is the right crisis and the world will welcome a new world order.
And they basically did with 9/11. I mean, that's pretty much what they did, but, and there's still more to come. But what I think, you know, sometimes we like to talk solutions a lot, as a lot of these other people won't, these other frauds in the movement or whatever, they never talk solutions. I mean, what do you think we should do? I think one of the things we need to do more than anything, and I'm not just talking 9/11, I'm talking any of these issues, but that's a good one for me to start with because that's what I researched the most, is if we can just prove to people how much you cannot trust anything that comes out of the mouths of any of the media, the TV, the Hollywood, or anything. And I know that is so hard to do, but if we could ever reach that goal, I think we could make some serious change.
Well, that's just it, you know, and it's getting back to that starfish because it's such a huge job. But you know what? I have to allow people to be as ignorant as I once was. You know,
yeah,
and that's
too,
where I always go back to is that when I'm talking to someone and they think that I, like my own daughter thought that I was absolute lunacy, just in craziness, and has now, even on one of my posts on my page, somebody was commenting, she was a nurse, and I was talking about vaccinations, and she says, Brian, the research and the science and da-da-da-da-da-da-da has proved there's never been any basically any ill effects from vaccinations.
Yeah, right.
And my daughter chimed in, who's 19, and she said, but you're only studying books that were written by the government. And I'm just like, that was completely uncoached. And
that
I'm
was
just
awesome.
Like, you go, girl, you're only, you know, and when you take a look at the control, and well, I learned this in school. Did you? What did you learn in school? You know, these bastards have taken over and rewritten history.
That's what they did. That's what you learned in school. I talk about it all the time, Brian. I don't know how many times I've said I want to get an 8th grade history book and let's just tear it apart for a few nights and laugh at all the lies in it. I mean, they just totally fabricate everything just to a lot of times to make themselves look good, but, you know, for a lot of other agendas too, but they lie about everything. I mean, what can we even trust? If you told me anything was fake from the past, how can I tell you that you're wrong without doing tons of research into it? Anything.
Guys,
people don't like to touch. Name one. You know what I mean? I can't tell you that it didn't happen. I can't tell you that it did or didn't because we can't go by their information. It requires so much digging now. But that's where the internet's really helped us, I think. Enemy, too. It's got its ups and its downs, you know? But it's really helped the research. Because before, you would need to go to a library to do this shit.
Exactly. It's a double-edged sword. But the thing is now, ours, when we grew up now, All of us, I believe, are in our 30s or older or whatever. You know, but you know, even if you're in your mid 20s, our textbooks were full of shit. But you got to see the ones they're pushing nowadays. These kids, they're even worse. You know, chock full of Agenda 21. You know, chock full of global warming bullshit. And just you know, the history that they put in about 9/11 and everything else. You know, but I mean, I guess it was the same way. You know, how many people really, really believed the Apollo missions went to the moon?
I think a lot of people do. Yeah, a lot of people after our show probably did. Brian, did you get to hear our show on that?
I heard a little bit. I went down that road about a year ago, and it was somebody posted something about Kubrick's deathbed confession, and that he shot the whole thing in a soundstage. And now his wife is afraid for her life. But so the further I delved into that subject, even in the NASA museum, they've got, I don't know who, Armstrong, I think it was, they've got his spacesuit. But the pictures of the footprints on the quote-unquote lunar surface don't even match that footprint. That shot of that footprint doesn't even match the tread pattern on the boot that's on display, supposedly the one that was on the moon. And I mean, these guys are, and then when you research that topic and you get into the pictures and you see the lighting and the shadows and the shot from inside the capsule and the guy's arm or whatever that was that came across the window, they're not even careful. But the sheeple are just like, we believe it because we saw it, and Tom Brokaw or Walter Cronkite or Peter Jennings or you know, pick an anchor, said so. Damn it. So it's got to be the truth, getting back to what Justin was talking about, because if it's the truth, if it's on TV, because we believe them.
Right. Right.
You know,
the TV has been such a big propaganda tool for so long, ever since its inception. Now, before that, they used the radio, but they realized the TV would be so much more effective in delivering propaganda to people, because, you know, it takes so many of your senses to watch the TV, and you get engaged in it. And it's in, you know, Tavistock and the Rand Corporation. And that's what these people do. They sit around the clock talking to people from, you know, these stations and whatnot. And they tell them, hey, what trends they want to see, you know, what they want to see the hip hop people doing, what they, you know. If they want to make more gangster rap, or, you know, anything from, if they want to make, you know, Lady Gaga, or, you know, transhumanism type stuff. And, you know, and this goes all the way down to, you know, even some of the sports stuff of, you know, of, and it's crazy how far, you know, these people have delved into our lives and into our, you know, pseudo educations and into the college, which is another, you know, so many people think because they have a degree, you know, like Brian was saying earlier, you know, they've been learning out of these people's textbooks, and it's all garbage. It's all, you know, it's all lies to protect their establishment.
You can't even talk about any of these issues. You can't talk about, and there's so many. I mean, we could sit here all night, and I do want to get into a lot of them with you guys. I know you wanted to talk about maybe some GMO food, maybe some health issues, big pharma, some stuff like that. And, you know, you try and argue with these people, but they don't understand the information they've been given is bad. You went through eight years of bullshit indoctrination is what you did. So that way, when you were out of there, they would do exactly what you want. And they would, you would write prescriptions for everybody. They make money off the drug sales. They keep you in their cancer industry. It's a big revolving door, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's the understatement of the century. People, you know, I come from a marketing.
Go on that a little bit.
People are very proud. You know, we are a proud people, especially North Americans, where, you know, we're all powerful and we sort of oversee the world, and nobody can. When I try to talk to people about your mind has been programmed, and they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, okay, I'm going to ask you three questions, and I'm going to tell you what you are going to answer before you do. And I'll say, name a fast food restaurant. You're going to say McDonald's. I'm going to say name a soda. You're going to say Coke or Pepsi. I'm going to say name a mattress. You're going to say Sealy or Serta. From a marketing standpoint, it's called top of mind awareness. Share of mind equals share of business. And to that same degree of alpha state programming that we get sitting in front of, they didn't call this thing a boob tube for no reason. We sit and our minds go into an alpha state, and it's literally programmed to sway us to believe and to travel psychologically, emotionally, spiritually in a specific direction, which is well thought out, and it they're in no hurry. They're very slow and very methodical in what they want to do. But like Justin was talking about, these record execs, these television execs, they sit down and you know, like there was the music industry years ago back in the 90s got together and they say, okay, so we got all these private, privately held prisons. How are we going to get them full and keep them full? And that's where all this gangster rap came from. People would say, Brian, you're off your nut.
Wow.
Absolutely not. You know? And you take a look
that,
at 50 Cent and Tupac and Biggie and what's his name? Snoop Dogg, all these guys. And it, like, music is incredibly controlling.
Oh, it's incredibly influential. Incredibly. That's one of the most influential things you can play. You play music. Just think about when you're in high school, Brian. Music almost separates people into different cliques, doesn't it?
Oh,
absolutely.
It's very powerful. It's a very powerful thing. So you could see how they could absolutely do that. And people don't realize they want to call America a free country. Okay, guys, we have 25% of all the prisoners in the world in this country. We don't have anywhere near 25% of the population.
We have 5%. 5% of the population.
Thank you.
25% of the prison population.
Now, how is that a free country? If you guys look at some of the drug laws and stuff, and I personally, you know, and maybe I shouldn't speak on this, but I personally have a best friend of mine that's doing 11 years on a bullshit drug charge. I mean, it's not bullshit, but you get these diddlers that get out in 2 years, then they go out and they rape little boys, then they do it again and again and again. And my friend's still sitting in jail because he sold a couple bags of drugs to somebody 11 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest, my whole thing is, here's the deal. Anything that's – I live by the non-aggression principle, and anything that is not infringing on anyone else's property or their personal space is a victimless – you know, not even a crime. It's a victim. You know, if somebody wants to damage themselves with drugs or whatever, that shouldn't be any of the state's business. But like you said, you know, this goes back. Like,
well,
if
he's running around selling it, and you know, it's a little different. I'm not saying the kid was innocent, but I'm saying 11 years, and diddlers get what, a year or two? All this kid did was sell a little bit of drugs to somebody, and he's a good guy. You know, he's a good guy. You know, he certainly doesn't have sex with little boys.
Right, right. Well, that's,
you know,
that's,
and that all comes down from the Vatican, I believe, you know. I believe they have a very strong hold over some of our policies. And we know that they don't look down on that. We've heard the Pope speak on it, on its behalf of pedophilia, haven't we? Just a few months ago.
Yep, I believe he said something to the effect like,
wasn't that bad back in his day, I think.
Right, right, right. It was understandable, you know, something like that. You know, and also too, I mean, you know, it's, you have the Zionist aspect of it too, where, you know, you have these rabbis sucking these little kids' pricks when they're, you know, when they're getting circumcised and whatever, you know. And you know, it's just crazy because, you know, I do believe all roads lead to Rome, but you know, when people want to say like the Zionists have nothing, no blood in their hands, they're you know, they're out of their mind. But you know, it's a story for
it's
another
all different
day.
Groups, Justin. I think the best thing for us to do, one of the reasons I never get into all of these different Illuminati groups and everything. I mean, I learned a little bit about them, is because that's just to keep you busy chasing them all around. Let's get them doing what they're doing. You know what I mean? I mean, unless we're getting specific names at the top of these groups, that's why I don't like to talk about it too much, because I just think I think it scares some people away. But I definitely think it is important because they are the people that are pulling it. But do we really know who any of these people are? Do we have some names of some of these people? I mean,
yeah,
we got a couple, right?
Yeah. No, we got a lot of names of.
Do we?
For example, the papal, there's a papal bloodline. The papal bloodline is made up of a few families. Now, these families, you'll never hear about them in the alternative media. But you got the Borgias, the Farnese family, the Breakspears. These are all, they're called the Black Nobility families. And these families are always, there's three popes, the Black Pope, the Gray Pope, and the White Pope. The Gray Pope is always a bloodline. Always from one of these bloodlines, and that's why that represents the Trinity of Rome. You know, they have the Black Pope is the military leader, the Gray Pope is the bloodline leader, and the White Pope, you know, Benedict, is a spiritual leader supposedly, and that's the thing. Is so, I mean, we do know some of these. You know, we do know it's the Jesuit generals at that end. And as far as the Zionists go, of course, we know the Rothschilds and some of these other Sephardic families and Ashkenazi families that are, you know, that have been involved with this for, so long, like the Schiffs and, and the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, etc.
Let me ask a little off topic question just to go back on something that Brian was talking about earlier. He had brought up the 9/11 blog that I did and how he was reading it for a few days or whatever. So what's your opinion? I mean, I'm not asking 100%, but do you think it's a possibility that maybe this whole thing was totally faked?
I'm leaning. Who are you asking, Brian?
I'm asking you. I'm asking if you believe things I'm saying.
If I didn't believe, I think I probably would have ended my research on that topic, you know, within an hour or two. But the further I delved into it, and it wasn't just your stuff I was reading. You had some great links, and there's some other, what is the veteran, what is the website? I was on there for a long time, too. Here it is. Veterans Today, and getting back to my construction background, where steel and, you know, I mean, the sheer logistics of it failing. But then, like you say, where were the, you know, let's assume that there was the 3,000 people that supposedly died that day, and all the other people miraculously somehow either stayed home sick or for whatever reason, because that building, I forget what it was supposed to house, but if all those floors supposedly were full and occupied as per the building, what the hell's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, the occupancy list.
The building's the occupancy report.
Yeah.
Like all these phantom companies and whatnot. So let's assume that there should have been 30,000 odd people in that building that day. And the media is like, oh, God saved all these people from, you know, like somebody had a blister. He had to stop and get a Band-Aid. So, you know, there's a big story about him. How a blister on his shoe saved his life that day. Somebody else was stuck on the something tunnel and couldn't get to work, so he was saved that day. Whatever. The bottom line is that where are all the desks? Where are all the filing cabinets? Where are all the cell phones? Where are all the everything? You know, in when we demo a building, even if it's been completely stripped, there's still hundreds of miles of wires that are missed, that are and the rebar and the there's just like so much debris that's left behind even after a completely and totally stripped out building. And if that building wasn't stripped according to, because it was, you know, completely occupied and completely usable and used, then where is all that stuff? You know, it doesn't vape like and to think, oh, well, the jet fuel, it just vape, you know, like the vaporized, but a paper passport didn't. There's just way too many, you know, the black boxes, four of them, two on each plane, none of them found.
And that's never happened. All these things that have never happened in the history of the world,
ever.
Mind you.
And then they happened three times on the same day.
These things still haven't happened in the history of the world because they're impossible. Not impossible. Maybe you could lose a black box, but steel frame building is not just going to melt from a fire and just melt to the ground in an hour. I mean, that's just absurd. You couldn't even get the fire nearly hot enough, you know? And the whole thing is they don't care whether you buy, what theory you buy, whether it's, you know, Dmitry Kalazov, Dr. Judy Wood, Jim Fetter, even myself, other people, Simon Shack. And no matter whose theory you bought, they don't really want you buying that one because that's the media fakery one. But as far as all the other theories, they don't care what you buy as long as you buy the fact that 3,000 people died. They'll even let you think the government did it. Their thing is they protect the media. They protect the media hoax of the day because once everybody realizes that the media actually created this event and lied to you about this, they'll never trust them again. They'll never be able to tell us another moon hoax or another crazy story like this. How could you trust them if you found out they lied about 9/11? That's why, yeah, I think it's so important. That's what drives me a lot with it, is I think that if I can get – it's so hard to get the message out. It is, and I'm trying really hard, you know. But I think if people can realize that the media lied to you about 9/11, guys – they made that up, and this whole last 10 years has been all bullshit.
Well, it's Brian, it's not just that they lied to you. They were perps involved in it is the real problem. You know, people can understand the media lied to them, and that's part of the regular truth movement is saying that people lied to them. But what we're saying is a whole other paradigm. We're saying, look, the media was complicit in this. So you know, there you go. How can – you know, if it's ever found out that they helped cover up and stage this whole operation, you know, then you know that puts them in the same boat as the Cheneys and the Bushes, and that's what they don't, because here's the thing, like I've said it before, you can in people's minds you can change the president every 4 years. We know that's not true. We know that the president stays a puppet no matter who it is. But however, everybody else, you know, they believe that you could change them every 4 years. However, the media never changes. You know, look how long, like, Jennings and all these other guys.
Or the people that are really pulling the strings, whether it's the media people, right, or the people behind, right, them. Of course they never,
exactly,
change. And people, you know, obviously that's one of the first things people get. But I just think 9/11 with still doing – people still wanting to research it after so long – That's something so wrong that they did to us, guys. That's unacceptable. Am I going out of the line by saying that's unacceptable that our media did that to us? And our government and whoever else was involved? That's about as unacceptable as it gets to blame this whole other nation and a couple nations on doing these horrible acts, and not only that, all the fear mongering that's come since with these underwear bombers and people are gonna want to blow you up with backpacks. People don't want to blow you up with backpacks, dude. They don't want to die. They want to go home to their families too. But people believe that shit now. People live in fear of it now. Yep. All over the world. Yep. All because of a production that they made. At least in my opinion. I could be wrong. You know, maybe it wasn't a production, but I just think it was a total media production. And I think like the guy last week, okay? You guys remember the call last week? He talked about, kept going after Bush and Cheney. And we're not going to hang Bush and Cheney. What if we went after some of these lower-level media people? You think we could get some of them? What can we do to get some of these people?
As far as media and what goes through my mind is, what's their incentive? Is it they need to toe the party line just in order to keep their job, or are they being remunerated? You know,
I think most of them, honestly, are CIA from the start. Like,
right,
well, they're trained.
Right.
They're some sort of army personnel. I don't think most,
right,
of them are media at all. I think they're military.
Yeah, the whole Operation Mockingbird thing. You know, where they, you know, in the '70s, and you know, went and replaced, you know, people that were in the media with, you know, they phased out the old guys that maybe told the truth every now and then, with all people that were Pentagon or CIA trained. Anderson Cooper is a good example of that. The guy went in the CIA, even went to CIA training school, and then became this big, you know, media mogul.
Yeah.
You know, some of them went a different route. Some of them, like,
yeah,
like
they're
Glenn,
not at all like that, of course. But
right.
I bet there's a huge percentage.
Good amount, yeah.
A
good amount are.
and you want, I want to put some names out there. Like, let's say it, on 9/11, you got guys like Rick Leventhal out in the street, you know, staging these interviews saying he just saw the towers come down, he just saw this and that. People like that, I think, are on the same level of like Anderson Cooper. These are military trained people that are put into the media, and it's been long admitted. I mean, we've known about Operation Mockingbird for a long time.
George Stephanopoulos is, you know, another one. These guys are all, you know, or they're Rhodes Scholars too. Rhodes Scholars or parts of the Ivy League, whether it's Skull and Bones. There's a lot of other Ivy, you know, Harvard. All the Ivy League schools have things similar to Skull and Bones, but you only hear about Skull and Bones. You don't hear about Scroll and Key.
Yes,
you don't hear about exactly. The Owl Club. You know, at Harvard that Zuckerberg supposedly went to. You know. You know, you don't hear about all these other you know, secret societies. Like I said, the Rhodes Scholars, that's one of the biggest, you know, cherry picking spots for the elite. People like Bill Clinton and, you know, so many other, and like I said, tons of journalists, and a lot of them are like people's daughters, Mika Brzezinski, and, you know, and even Anderson Cooper is a Vanderbilt, you know, so I mean, there you go.
What's your opinion on all this, Brian?
I don't disagree whatsoever, and it seems like there's bullpens like warming up pitchers all over the world, and now, you know, my opinion is that there is such a tight control getting to media, religion, whatever label you want to put on it, but the one world government is in effect right now. I mean, it's operating. United Nations, you take a look at what's his nuts, saying that basically, you know, if we're going to strike preemptively, we'll get the okay from the bypass Congress and go straight to the NATO allies. And if we decide that what the hell's the guy's name? I want to say Pepperoni, but it's, you know, like that starts with a P. I'm going brain dead here. But there's a video of him.
Leon Panetta, who's a Knight of Malta.
Panetta, there you go. Yeah, and he's basically saying, like, no, we know what's best. And if we deem military action to be, you know, in the best interest and in the security of the United States, well, we'll just go ahead and bomb the shit out of them. And better to ask forgiveness than permission kind of thing. And then they I mean, he's called on it, saying, like, are you serious? Like, really, you're just going to buy? And there's nothing ever done about that. These guys are just like a couple of guys in Congress might oppose it. Nothing ever gets reported.
Not to interrupt you real quick, but I have a caller calling in right now. I want to put him on. He's a very informed caller. I've actually been on his show. So hold on one second. We're going to add him to the call.
Awesome.
Chris Kendall, you're on with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and Brian Hamilton, buddy. Good to hear from you. Chris, are you there? Did we lose him? Oh, it says he can't be added till he accepts my contact request. Okay. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
All right. Just keep talking now. You guys do your thing back and forth, and I'll try and get him back on.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, someone asked, and think, where does Anderson Cooper come from? You know, just Wikipedia. A lot of these types. Just go to Wikipedia, and you can find out so much. Even though it's a bunk source for, you know, finding real information. What I do at Wikipedia is I go there, and I find out, you know, what they're willing to tell you. And then from there, I investigate it on my own ends. And you'll see, like, you know, a lot of times who their parents are, you know, what bloodlines, you know, not necessarily a bloodline, but sometimes, you know, who their grandparents are. And these people they're not just regular people like, you know, me, Brian, and Brian, who just wanted to be journalists. You know, maybe some of them are and you know, and suck their way to the top. But for the most part, you know, these people have been, you know, just like politicians, they've been trained and molded for, you know, for their job in the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he's ready. I'm going to add him into the group call. So hang on one second. Let's see. Chris. Why is it coming up as busy? Yeah, the phone system doesn't seem to be working out too well tonight for him. Alright, I'll wait for him to call back in himself. I tried adding him that time. But, oh yeah.
Oh, just recently, I just wanted to say something while Brian's trying to get Chris on the phone. Is Leon Panetta actually just over the last week declared global warming to be a national emergency? You know, in the same way that he would declare a war to be. Isn't that just hilarious? You know how the fact that people are buying, you know, still buying into this, and you know. I don't know. I just find it crazy, you know. And here's the thing, you know, just to kick on the global warming tip, you know, they talk about it, these icebergs melting and the polar bears and everything else, but then you get a report back this year that says that the icebergs are actually getting bigger, and you know, in some places they're growing and everything else, and you know, and it's just total bullshit.
Al Gore just bought a $14 million property on Malibu Beach, and if the ocean's going to be rising 100 feet in the next 10 years, I would think that the property values might drop a bit for Uncle Al.
Exactly. Dude, that was Al Gore's that was his compensation for not contesting the election. That's what happened in 2000. I'm guaranteed of it. They knew they had to get Bush in so that his cronies can pull off 9/11. So when Gore had the chance to contest the Florida election results, and he was the Speaker of the House at the time, he all he had to do was say he wanted to have it investigated, and he said no. That what happened is, I'll guarantee you that you know, an hour or two before that, he got a call from someone saying, "Hey, how would you like to make billions of dollars?" You know, and win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
I'm sure he said, "Hey, yeah, I'd love to." And then, you know, there we go.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that for a minute.
I think it's going to work this time. Hopefully, this will be our last shot. Chris, are you here?
Hey, Brian.
Chris.
What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? We're glad we got you in the call. Looks like we had a little trouble, but I'm finally glad you're here. You're on with my co-host, Justin Cook, our guest, Brian Hamilton, and this is Chris Kendall, who does a show on TalkShoe, which is a very, very good show that I'll actually make sure we plug tonight, because I actually listen to it a lot myself. What's the name of your show again, Chris?
It's the Hoax Busters on TalkShoe.
Hoaxbusters, that's right. So what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Oh, you guys were talking about the moon hoax, and I was listening to your podcast, when you guys did a show pretty much dealing with the moon landing being staged and all that. And I got sent this video. This guy Robert, he goes by the handle Java Ring, and this goes into like how possibly Kubrick faked the moon landing, and it's real interesting. It's on the Vimeo. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
No, not it's, really. Yeah, is that VI. That old format?
No, it's like a YouTube. It's a video.
Oh, Vimeo. No, I have a Vimeo channel, actually. Yeah, I have Vimeo. I'm an idiot. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that.
I do. I have a video posted on Vimeo.
Yeah, that's where it is. It's on Vimeo.com/4189110.
Yeah, throw it in. Do you see our chat right there? I mean, if you want, you can throw it in the chat. But let's talk about it for a minute. I mean, what's the basic?
Let's see, it's well. So you know, you've heard that before. Like Stanley Kubrick had his hand in faking the moon landing and all that.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen this particular video, but it was pretty interesting how, you know, he goes into like this, what do they call it? Rear screen projection or back screen projection or something like
that. Right, right.
But,
yeah, with this green screen, not green screen. I know what you're talking about, like, no, with all these lights or something, right?
Well, you're talking about the 3M stuff where you get the foreground is the actual scene. The foreground is what they're actually filming. And then in the background, the whole background is just, you know, whatever they wanted to put as a set for the background. And that's why, you know, you can barely, you can see it. I don't even have an eye for this stuff. But I went through the NASA official pictures, and I could see it in every single picture where the set started and where it stopped, and the, you know, and where the exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's well, it's like the 3M company came up with the screens, and it works like a green screen sort of thing, but except for it's like if you were standing in front of a movie screen at the theater and you had some scenery in the front, but you know, if it's projected from behind you, you're not casting a shadow on the screen. It looks like you're in the scene if they were to film it a certain way. Kind of like old school green screen technology.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, like green screen technology of 30 years ago. But at the time, it was very prevalent. It was much better than anything else out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's the point of the movie? Did the movie make you come to... I know your thought on the moon landing, obviously. I know that you know the moon landing's a bunch of bullshit. But did this make you believe that Stanley Kubrick was the guy that staged the moon landing? Or do you still think it was all these other people?
Stanley Kubrick. Why not? You know,
can we get the exact link? We want some people that want the link in the chat. Could you throw the link in the chat?
Let me see. I'll go. Yeah, I got had your chat up here. I got
whether you're on the website chat or you can just throw it in the Skype chat, and I'll throw it in there for them if you want. Because a couple of people already asked for them. I told them it's probably a long documentary. Probably watch it when we're done talking. But I'm sure I want to see it because Justin actually and I, before we did the Moon Hoax show, he brought a lot of this to my attention. I didn't know who Stanley Kubrick was really. And I started reading about a lot of these technologies that he had used and he was known for using. And you start looking at all the moon stuff, and it's like, wow, it really does make a lot of sense. But even if that's wrong, that stuff's still all fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It kind of answers some questions. I can't put it in the chat. But, well, let me put a temporary name. Okay. Let's see. I see what's
going on.
Yeah, there
you go. Just pick a name. Put a temporary name and then throw it in the chat, and then everybody can have it. Because a couple people already asked for it, and I'll watch it tonight too.
There it goes. It's in there now.
And what is the video? What's it called?
I don't know the title of it. It's just I don't know if I can't remember if a title comes up or not, but it's not titled on the Vimeo page.
It's 2001: A Space Odyssey, 1968, is what it says on the video.
Yeah,
but
I guess that's the title. I don't know.
I think is that a Jay Widener?
Javaring, it says, is the person who posted it. I don't know if that helps. We'll probably just have to check it out. But did that pretty much convince you that he was the one that was behind the moon hoax? For the most part, obviously not by himself, but
it explains a lot. I mean, it explains like why there was no stars. Because
no stars? Because I'd really love to know. Because I had a theory that because it'd be too hard for them with astronomers matching up and perspectives, like the same reason they didn't have parts falling off airplanes on 9/11 because they wouldn't match up in all the shots. Was it reasons like that, or was it
just a technical hurdle that they just decided? Well, I mean, if they're using this I wish I could remember the technical name of this. Back green screening. You know what technique we were just talking about.
Don't worry about it. We'll find the word. People can't expect you to remember all the words. They'll be in the
documentary. There's a diagram I have somewhere. I could post up what it is. But yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Yeah. So if they're using that, and from what I understand, it uses some sort of like glass beads instead of like cloth or something like that. Right. So it's kind of this draped glass beads, like these really small glass beads. And so probably more than likely, you know, trying to have like a black background with these little points of light representing stars, it probably didn't look right, or they couldn't get it to look.
Yeah, especially when they were using, like you said, glass beads that were doing whatever they were doing in the back. That now I see what you're saying.
Right, it's probably perfect for doing
the
mountain.
But the video's pretty good. It's definitely worth watching. It kind of explains it good.
Yeah, it goes into that, and then it goes into all the I don't know if you guys have heard about this before, but in the film The Shining,
yes,
was an adaptation of a Stephen King book. And so it goes into the, you know, and Stanley Kubrick directed it, The Shining.
Right. And Stephen King wants nothing to do with Kubrick's version of it. He because Kubrick made it his own and totally went out and pretty much what was your the main thing he had someone wearing a t-shirt or something too of the
I'd say the boy that's in the movie, the he's supposedly psychic and all that, but he's kind of one of the main characters in the movie, and he's and it goes into and one of the ideas behind why Kubrick departed so much from the book was that he was using that movie as sort of a vehicle to kind of, in a backhanded way, expose the fact that he had been in on the moon landing hoax.
Right.
And there's one scene in that movie, and that's what you're talking about, Justin, where the boy has a sweater and it has a rocket taken off. And then the scene where you see that sweater, it's from the top down, and he's like playing with his toys, and it's on this this carpet with this pattern on it. And the pattern, if you take one segment of the pattern, it looks just like the launch pad area from Apollo 11. And then, like, when the camera position changes scene, and then the boy stands up, it's like representing the rocket taking off. And, you know, it just so happens he has the a sweater with the rocket that says Apollo 11 on it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, and there's different stuff throughout the movie that are that's pointed out, like as if he's kind of making reference to it and hinting.
And I believe you. I just haven't got enough into it. And I trust Justin a lot as my co-host, and he told me he believes that this guy was involved in it too. Brian, what's your opinion on this? I haven't heard you in a minute. Why don't you tell us what you think about this?
A few months ago, I read, I don't know whether it was on Vigilant Citizen or one of the sites. I subscribe to a ton of different blogs and websites and whatnot, but they were interviewing actually Kubrick's wife, who is now basically in hiding because she's come out now, and Kubrick apparently on his deathbed just came clean and confessed all, and she came out with this story and is now afraid for her life. But when you take a look, there was I think it was on YouTube or maybe on Vimeo, but there was one documentary, several been done, but the one that I was watching, this guy's traveling around confronting these astronauts, and who was the guy on Dancing with the Stars, the short little bastard, was it Armstrong? Not Armstrong. Anyway, he wound up punching this dude. It was hilarious. And he was trying to get them all Buzz Aldrin. He was trying to get them all to swear on a Bible that they, in fact, did do what and none of them would, except for one guy did.
No, we actually played some of that during our Moon Hoax show. That's the astronauts gone wild.
I believe the one who did was Edgar Mitchell, and Edgar Mitchell is the one who's one of these new age types that's kind of involved with Disclosure Project and all that.
It doesn't even matter because the footage that the guy's showing them, it shows how they staged their approach to the moon, and they did that whole Earth shot out the window, and they tell you the camera is at the back of the window.
Brian, what I'm saying though is that this guy is using that to further their agenda. In other words, he's using.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Edgar Mitchell is a ufologist, and he's he's a big name in it, and that's how he uses his thing of going to the moon. I think Alex Jones and all that.
I know what you're saying now. Now I know what you're saying. Well, we faked it, but we faked it because there's aliens up there or some bullshit. Like
right, that. Exactly, exactly.
I get you.
That's one thing.
He won't say he faked it, but he says that's why they won't go back. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that's one thing that's this documentary kind of, it alludes to that. I don't know where this guy... Now the guy who did the guy Javaring's not the guy who made it. He just posted. He had it on YouTube and he said it got taken down after 2,000 views. They pulled the copyright BS and made him pull it down. And then that's why he uploaded to Vimeo. But it goes into like the narrator, I guess the guy that created it.
Sorry about that.
Oh, cool. No, he says like something to the effect that he actually believed that we did go to the moon, but that but they faked the they did that for a show of the public, the fake stuff they showed, but they actually went to the moon, and it's like my question would be, okay, where is your evidence for that?
There's none of that. And why would you do that? Why would you deceive the people so much if you're going to really go to the moon? Why not be proud about it? And why make all these fake textbooks and all these achievements? And how about Neil Armstrong? I mean, not to stay on the moon thing all night, but I mean, you got this guy that's supposedly the first guy that walked on the moon, the biggest achievement in the history of mankind, and the guy hasn't given one friggin' interview? I mean, the guy should still be on TV 5 days a week. The guy should be making tons of dough, doing interviews all the time, and he doesn't even want to talk about it. I don't think he wants anything to do with the lie anymore. I think he wants to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think it's something that ate at his conscience over the years. Yeah. It's just like, somebody that murdered someone in the 60s or whatever, and now they come to grips with it, and it bothers them that they've, they're a part of this huge lie.
Why don't we take a quick, we'll take a quick break in a second, and then when we come back, why don't we switch it up a little bit, and Brian, what were some of the other topics you wanted to get into tonight? Because I know you wanted to get maybe into the GMOs, a little bit into Big Pharma. What else did you want to get into? And we'll switch it up a little bit after the break. Because we did the whole moon hoax show last week. I don't want to spend an hour on it. I love talking about it with you guys, but I'm sure people want to hear something else.
Well, the GMO and Big Pharma is another hot button. Fukushima is another. With all of the, now the latest.
Do you think that's a lot of disinfo, or do you think that's a lot of real? The Fukushima. What do you think you know what I mean? How about this? We'll take a break, and then you'll give us your opinion when we come back.
Sure.
Okay?
Yep,
Chris,
sounds good.
Stay with us, please, if you can.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
That real this time around. Immortal Technique. Revolutionary Volume 2. It's on now, motherfucker. Lock and load. This is the point of no return. I can never go back. Life without parole. Upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole. Looking at the world through a crack. But fuck that. I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far. There ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos. Raping the black and Indian women. Creating Latinos. Motherfuckers made me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus. Stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber. Strapped and ready to blow. zone. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, you not ready. This is the point of no return and nobody can stop it. Malcolm Little when he knelt before Elijah Muhammad. The comet that killed the dinosaurs, changing the earth. They love to criticize, they always say I change for the worse. Like prescription pills when you misusing them, nigga. The Templar Knights when they took Jerusalem, nigga, and figured out what was buried under Solomon's temple. Al-Aqsa, the name is not coincidental. I know too much, the government is trying to murder me. No coming back, like cutting your wrists open vertically. How could the serpent be purposely put in charge of the country? Genetic engineered sickness spread amongst me. My people are so hungry that they attack without reason, like a fucking dog ripping off the hand that feeds him. Immortal technique is treason to the Patriot Act. So come and get me, motherfucker, cause I'm not coming back. This is the point from which I can never return. And if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat. Cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before. Cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore. This is the point of no return, nigga. You better believe this. Mary Magdalene giving birth to the children of Jesus. The evolution of the world, bloody and dramatic. Human beings killing monkeys to conquer the planet. The kingdoms of Africa and Mesopotamia. Machine gun your body with depleted uranium. This is the age of microchips and titanium. The dark side of the moon in contact with aliens. I started out like Australians, criminal minded. Broke into hell, tore it down and built a city behind it. Southpaw, murderous methodology, nigga. Remember that I'm just a man, don't follow me, nigga. Cause once you pass the point, you can never go home. You gotta face the possibility of dying alone. So tell me, motherfucker, how could you die for the throne when you don't even got the fucking heart to die for your own? It rains acid, one day the earth will cry from a stone. And you'll be looking at the world living inside of a dome. Computerized humanity living inside of a clone. This is the place where the unknown is living and real. Wormwood, the planet X and the seven seal. Universal truth is not measured in mass appeal. This is the last time that I kneel and pray to the sky. Cause almost everything that I was ever told was a lie. This is the point from which I can never return. And if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat. Cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before. Cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host Brian Stavely with my co-host Justin Cook. We're also joined tonight by Brian Hamilton, and we also have Chris Kendall on the line. And I think right before we were going to go to break, the first thing we were going to come back and talk about is something that I'm very interested in, and I have a hard time talking about because there is so much disinformation. And just the basic idea of it and the fear-mongering that goes behind it, I don't know what to believe. So who wants to go first? Yeah. Brian, what do you say on Fukushima?
Well, and the reason I brought it up is I guess primarily I want more information. The more I look into it, even in the alternative media, there seems to be so little. One of the sites that I subscribe to is Natural News, and Mike Adams, who's always co-hosting AJ's show, and not always, but a lot, you know, and so I take a lot of stuff with a grain of salt. He's, you know, I mean, he's not creating panic or anything, but the latest that I read was I think it was a senator or a congressman or whatever was actually over in Japan, and the reactor number 4 is one minor earthquake away from complete failure. The spent fuel cells and all the rest of it, it could be, you know, I guess the potential disaster could be 100 times greater than Chernobyl. Yet nobody seems to be talking about this other than a couple of sites. I have discovered that Canada has actually shut off their monitoring system. So there, and the States has raised their allowable limits.
So by a long shot.
By a long shot.
Yeah,
like 130,000 times or something ridiculous.
let me jump in here too, and I think
go ahead,
that,
go ahead. You know what, guys? I'm gonna leave my mic here for a second muted. I have to take my dog out. So while you guys talk, I don't want to make an echo. So I'll be right back.
Gotta love live radio.
So I was saying, you know, about the Fukushima thing. Regardless of what's going on, you know, even if it's not going on at the plant as we're told, or even if it's not, you know, from the earthquakes as we're told, I do think there's a serious radiation problem going on. Whether they're sporadically letting it off in the United States and Canada, or all over the world, or there is this actual threat. So, I mean, either way to go with it, I think it's a big part of the eugenics slow kill program to speed it up a little bit. And, like Brian, I'm looking to get more info into the Fukushima thing. But, like you said, Mike Adams, the fact is with him is I like him for a lot of his stuff. But like you said, since he's been all over InfoWars and stuff, I almost have a problem believe in some of the stuff he says. But, you know, then again, I still do post him. I won't post any AJ anymore, anything like that. But I still will post a lot of his stuff for, natural stuff. But I don't know. You know, I definitely think it is pretty weird that the mainstream is not touching on it. Like, you would think they would want more fear out of it. So that is a possible reason why it could definitely be legit. Yeah. You know, or at least some kind of it, or, you know. And, you know, however that whole incident was caused or, whatever was definitely not what we were, told, I'm sure, whether it was HAARP or, or they just, what have you,
I don't disagree. I think there could be, different pockets of, radiation comes in so many different forms. If you've done any research into ELF through microwave towers and cell phone towers and whatnot, it's absolutely bizarre what can be accomplished now with even the implantation of thoughts in the human mind. And that's, I don't know if they've got that deadlocked yet, but that's coming. And all of these sound waves and frequency manipulations and whatnot through, whether it's through your PVR or through cell towers in your neighborhood.
Yep. And they have the voice to skull thing and all that stuff. It's crazy.
Well, yeah. And so getting back to the, they call a lot of us are called the tinfoil hat brigade or whatever, but. I looked into even the banning of lead paint. Well, why was lead outlawed? Lead is, it's maybe not the healthiest substance on earth, but if every house were painted with lead paint, it would be really hard for them to see through with their razzmatazz little goggles and spyware and whatnot. Plus all of the radioactive, the frequencies could not permeate the walls. If you had a lead barrier on your house.
Good point. And here's another thing too. What I remember is, you guys remember a couple of years ago when the whole country went over to digital TVs and everything?
With the government's help. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. They made people go out and get the
huge subsidies.
Yep. Exactly. And that was definitely something for the police state and for. The surveillance state and whatnot. And also for this type of stuff. Have either of you guys heard of the bio API stuff? It's something I've read about in one article, and the article I've read is mind blowing as far as it's supposedly the real reason for chemtrails, besides weather mod, would be actually to get these like more gelins type fibers into everybody. And then eventually you'll actually have human robots, once you get to a certain point and they have so many fibers they can actually like take over your body. And when they do that, they won't need MK Ultra. They won't need, they could just turn anyone into a patsy, and it's really, really, really scary stuff. And I hate to bring any fear on here, but if that's what they're planning on and what they're capable of, God help us, because it's and it's sick. We've already seen the transhumanist agenda as far as they're planning to go with that. We know they think of us as sheep, or as goyim or cattle. So What's to stop them from implementing something like that? That would make everybody, you know, completely.
Well, I know that from my standpoint as an individual, and then for my family and myself, personally, I believe in a guy should have a regular, you know, like a detoxifying regime. I take a program. It's a substance. It used to be called Miracle Mineral Supplement, but the FDA and Health Canada stepped in, and they can no longer call it a supplement. It's now called Miracle Mineral Solution. And it's just two base components. One is chlorine dioxide. The other one is, sodium chloride mixed with citric acid produces chlorine dioxide, which back in the day used to be used in hospitals as a disinfectant. It kills all virus, all pathogens, sterilizes crystal clean. And this stuff can be taken orally. The chemical compound it breaks down to is from, you know, by and large, table salt. So it's non-toxic. And this stuff, the Jim Humble is the guy that is actually a friend of mine on Facebook, but he's down in places like Africa curing malaria with one dose of this stuff, curing HIV, curing cancer, curing herpes, hep C, all the viruses.
And again, you know, and that comes along with just the things like, you know, like you mentioned back in the day, they would use this in the hospitals. So look at colloidal silver too, something that has been used for hundreds of years, and yet now it's been totally suppressed under the Codex and under everything else. And there's another thing too that I've been looking into recently. I don't know if either of you guys have looked into it, but that's getting food grade hydrogen peroxide and mixing it with distilled water and actually getting more oxygen to your cells. And also people are taking it nasally. There's a bunch of different ways. I've been looking into it, and I hear that the health effects are really beneficial. But all this stuff has been lost, and to the pseudo, you know, big pharma medicine community where vaccines are the answer, and you know, keeping away from germs instead of probiotics, it's all antibiotics, and it's all, you know, it's ass backwards, and it's meant to be because, you know, they want us sick, they want us dying, they don't want us to live past the age of 50 when we're no longer a valuable worker. They don't want us to collect any Social Security or anything else like that, you know, and it's just a way to keep us, you know, in line with these healthcare companies and everything else. But, yeah, go ahead with the what you were saying with that water stuff. Sounds pretty interesting.
Well, what it is, you can go to jimhumble.biz, and the thing is that so many of these natural – remedies and or solutions are quite expensive, and it's sad because we live in a society now where the average North American, it's cheaper to feed their families McDonald's than going to the grocery store and buying healthy food. And even now with GMOs, you got to be careful what you're buying. Even in the, you know, the rule of thumb is you stay to the exterior of the store, avoid the interior aisles because that's where all the processed foods is. But you know, nowadays, even the exterior aisles and the produce, so much of it is GMO. I mean, corn, soy, people say is as much as 90% of the world's corn and soy production is now GMO.
Well, is it the world or is it just the Western countries?
What I heard it was the USA, but I could be wrong. It could be the world.
Take a look at the USA, you know? Though, they produce 90% of the world's grain and corn, so you might as well say the world.
Okay. Because here's the thing, though, that's pretty interesting, I think, to bring up with the GMOs, though.
And it's not just the corn, it's the soy, it's the canola, it's almost all the crops now. And those are all the garbage. Basic crops that are in every food, so how are you going to get food that's not GMO, you know what I mean?
But you know what's crazy, though, real quick, is the fact that these third world countries, these places where supposedly they don't have enough to eat, and yet they're turning down shipments of GMO. They're testing any food that comes from America, and if it's, you know, over a certain percent GMO, they send it back. You know, some stuff is they understand is going to be automatically, you know, because it even pollutes organic plants somewhat. But
yeah.
You know, that's thing. Even China, which we hear about, is so, you know, totalitarian. They sent back a whole shipload of strawberries a couple of years ago because, you know, they don't want it. Haiti, after the earthquake, that, you know, we tried getting in there and giving them all types of GMO I forget, was it Rice or something like that, and they didn't want it, you know, and it just goes to show these, you know, this stuff is terrible for us. It really is. And there's been, you know, no real testing done because, you know, the alphabet agencies, the foxes are guarding the hen houses, you know, the Monsanto people are high in every position and whatnot.
Oh, they have total control of the food supply. People have no idea, like, even just, like, the meat processing plants and stuff, there's only, like, 5 huge ones in the country. I mean, it's just disgusting what they do to your food. And it's intentional. Yeah. I mean, they intentionally want you to die off quicker. And I know that sounds crazy. I'm not trying to say that there's a global death plot, but it kind of is a global death plot. I mean, they do want you to get sick and die off quicker, right? Chris, are you still here?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah,
about
I'm listening.
All this?
What's
your opinion
on
this? Do you think it's a bunch of fear mongering? Do you think it's real? Are you into GMOs? What do you got?
I had a couple of articles I was pulling up about the Fukushima thing. I wanted to like bring out, but I didn't want to interrupt because I wanted to hear what y'all were saying about GMOs and stuff. But I don't know. Can I go back to that for a second?
Yeah, dude, go ahead. Take the mic for like 10 minutes. We want to hear from everybody here. Go ahead.
Okay. This nuclear disaster, right? This Fukushima thing. So, you know, we're supposed to be all concerned about it. Did you know, like, that was in May? Yeah, it was 3/11/11. Is that right? It was last year?
March 11th.
Okay. And then in June, I got this article here. It says two nuclear power plants flooding in the Midwest. So in Nebraska, like, okay, it was like the following month, there's like a potential nuclear disaster in Nebraska, and that didn't get a lot of news exposure.
I remember it at the time, though, the containment pools were about to be flooded, and then the washaway water was going to be totally radioactive and whatnot.
Just like the steel frame buildings came down in an hour.
and then a month after that, you had Los Alamos with the same thing, with a forest fire or whatever, and that was a danger too.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too about Los Alamos. Like, what I have an article here on that. It's I'm trying to see what all this occurred. Oh, the following month. So it's like May, June, July. Mm-hmm. Okay, the following month, June, Nebraska, they're going to have a meltdown in Nebraska. And then in July, wildfires in Los Alamos going to get into the stored nuclear waste and cause a disaster. So it was like bam, 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 right back to back. And, I'm not that big a believer in coincidence. I think that, you know, these things are staged, they're scripted, they're falling right on the heels of this discussion about, you know, what are we going to do as far as taking care of the world's energy needs and all that debate, greening,
on
and so forth. So yeah, it's right in line with all that. And so they need these staged events. It's like, not too long before I get mixed up on these dates. I can't remember what happened. I think it was the Gulf oil spill, the greatest environmental disaster of history of mankind or something like that. They were talking about it, all that hyperbole surrounding
that was an underwater volcano. That wasn't even wasn't even anything that they said it was.
Why doesn't Chris elaborate on what you I mean, you made you made some phone calls into the Skype directory and actually talked to some people in Japan to see what was going on. I mean, why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Oh, I after that happened on 3/11, the alleged tsunami. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't a tsunami. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I did go into Skype. It was about 3 or 4 days later, and I looked up an English speaker in Sendai, Japan. And Sendai, Japan was the city the closest to the epicenter. The epicenter was out at sea, and so Sendai would have took the brunt of the seismic activity and all that. And so I called up this guy Richard, looking up his name on Skype, and it's on my TalkShoe page if anybody wants to listen to it. And he's just basically saying, oh, yeah, me and my girlfriend went out last night, you know, after the earthquake. And, yeah, we got something at 7-Eleven, some beer, some stuff to make some dinner. And they had electricity there. The power was out for like 24 hours or something like that. Came back on. And I said, well, what did you see as far as like damage? He said he didn't see a broken out window. He didn't see a crack in the street. He didn't see any kind of structural damage to any buildings. And so that's Sendai, Japan, the closest to the epicenter. Wow. So, yeah. So
it makes it very hard to believe, you know. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's fake because, you know, this isn't something I studied like 9/11. I can't, you know.
You know what's weird, too? You know what's weird, too, is actually at the same time, and this is from someone that is actually, I don't know, I kind of believe he's, you know, one of them, but the guy, Ryan Dawson, lives in Japan also, and he was saying it was nothing like, you know, like they were saying either.
Well, what was he saying? But isn't he a shill?
Yeah, well, either that, I think he's a useful idiot, more or less, to tell you the truth, but either way.
What was he saying?
No, he was saying that it was nothing like they were talking about. He was saying that, you know, he hadn't seen anything. He wasn't right near there, but as far as people being evacuated, you know, he was saying there was none of that going on, and you know, so I mean, it does make you wonder. And some of those tsunami videos did look suspect. You know, but it makes you wonder. So that's why, you know, my theory on it is, you know, they possibly just, you know, did a small one or whatever. The thing is, they could have just fucked with the nuclear places too and used the earthquake as an excuse. And then the other one is they didn't do that at all, and they're just letting off, you know, nuclear energy somewhere. Or the whole thing is that it's none of it's true. I don't know. You know,
I think there's my opinion on that is that the Fukushima thing was it's scripted out just like 9/11 was. It's more or less like a made for TV movie for public consumption. And like they show like helicopters coming in, and then I remember that being sort of like this big deal for a while. So it's a nice kind of visual dramatic kind of thing with these Chinook helicopters coming in and dumping water. Now why the hell would they drop water from a helicopter when they're that close to the ocean? They could just set up some pumps and pump water into the thing.
Yep.
You wouldn't do that, but it's good visuals. You know, you got helicopters coming in.
You're very right. You're 100% right on. You know,
made for TV movie.
It made no sense the whole thing, just on how they, you know, on you really believe Japan, one of the smartest countries in the world, doesn't have some type of plan for this to happen, you know?
What do you think the deal is, though, like, as far as being in this whole... Now, we know it's not just the United States, it's the Brits, it's the Vatican, it's whoever, it's all these other groups that are controlling the media and all these events. Do you think Japan's, like, how big of a part are they in on it? Do you think that they just get kind of told what to do a little more than we do? I think they do. I think they're a little lower on the rung, aren't they? They kind of let the hoaxes happen to them a lot, or you think they're just on the same level?
I think any so-called developed nation or westernized nation, they're in on the deal because, you know, we're all under free trade agreements and have been for a long time, probably, you know, since the
Kyoto Treaty and everything else, too.
Yeah. It's all they're all players. What? I mean, yeah, I think it's all.
Why don't we get Brian? Why don't you jump in real quick? We haven't heard from you. From you in a minute. What do you think about, you know, the last few things Chris said?
I don't disagree whatsoever. I was reading a blog not long ago, and it was basically, and I forget the city's name, but it was like basically a year to the day afterwards, and it was back to business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can say their technology and their stick-to-itiveness and their work ethic and all the rest of it, they were able to rebuild that much quicker. But I compare that to somewhere like New Orleans, that is still, you know, there's houses boarded up with plywood and big yellow X's right on the doors and whatnot. So it to me, it just seemed like there had to be more damage than You know what I mean? And also, there's just no one really talking about this, even in alternative media for that. You know, I mean, it's not everywhere. So if it were that big a deal, and like Chris was saying, there's guys, English-speaking bloggers and whatnot in Japan would be getting the word out. Like, yeah, this is real bad. This is, you know, you read the odd thing on naturalnews.com and the odd blog here and there, but it's, I don't know, it just seems fishy to me that, you know
what was real fishy, sorry to cut you off, was when Alex Jones bought up all the iodine. And then was marking it up for, you know, 50%, you know, whatever.
It wasn't fishy. That's what he does. He's a scumbag that makes money off people and lies to them. There's nothing too fishy there.
It's just like what they do with gold. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. Sorry to cut you off.
No, Justin, why don't you go ahead? It's like you better buy it while you still can, and you better get this kind because this kind is the best, and I like to support my sponsors, and you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden it's sold out. And now you can buy iodine anywhere, you know. So yeah. There's just, I mean, if it's walking like a duck and quacking like a duck, chances are good it's a duck. I don't know. Now I'm just reading this congressman or senator or whatever was apparently there, and he's written a memo to some Japanese dude saying, like, you got to do something with this. But, I mean, why would that not be in alternative news, even AJ? You know, yeah. I mean, he's not even saying too much about it anymore.
Let me put one point in because we've talked about this before. Do you guys think that they are leaking some sort of radiation as some sort of population control, or it's just complete bullshit, no story?
I think even if that thing was churning and burning and cranking out radiation, just as much radiation as could potentially come out of a nuclear power plant. Well, I mean, look at that plant on like Google Maps and zoom out, you know, zoom far out, and look how it's just this tiny, it's not even a speck, you can't even see it when you get out, and look at the globe and kind of the relationship of the Japan to that and all that, and think about that thing spewing anything up in the atmosphere, it's going to dissipate out, there's going to be so many variables involved with currents, air currents in the atmosphere, and then it's going to dilute, it's going to disperse. And it's not going to do, this ain't going to do crap, man. Well, it's not going to do nothing, even if it was. I don't think it is, but even if it was.
This kind of made me think of something, too, from what Brian said earlier about the EMF towers and everything. What if the reason for that, you know, the whole thing is just to cover up, you know, the fact that the EMF towers at home are just letting off this stuff and they don't want, you know, people to realize how much, you know, and that would even make sense, too, as a reason to stage this whole thing.
Another thing too is with the smart meters and call it off gassing or whatever, but the radiation emitted from a smart meter is absolutely criminal.
Really?
The average north. Oh yeah.
Oh, dude, I didn't know about that. So they could just basically radiate you at your house with the smart meter.
Absolutely.
Like, what do you mean? So like, how much radiation is coming off of one of these things?
Lots. Lots and lots on a continual basis. They're doing studies now, and you can't opt out of these things either. That's the criminal part. But I've done a little bit of research. I'll do more. But these guys went there. I forget what the actual it's like a Geiger counter that measures radioactivity, and these things are just like going off the dial, and a smart meter is basically telling Big Brother how long you used your curling iron, how long you used your hair dryer, what wattage and whatnot your refrigerator, like these smart appliances now that are being released and in any new home that's being built. It's just absolute insanity. But I think the average North American irradiates themselves more than they need to, certainly by the use of a microwave every day. The microwaves have been banned in Russia for 10 years.
It might even
be longer than that. They're not allowed to use it, and it's not because of it's because it's it radiates you. That's what it does.
Well, you remember back when microwaves first became popular, and it was like if you were rich, you had a microwave, but the big scare was that these things were leaking radioactive, you know, so you shouldn't stand in front of the door when your microwave was on. You shouldn't stand within 2 or 3 feet if your microwave was on. Now, the desensitization of the populace is just microwaves are good, they're handy, they're convenient, we want things hot now. And so throw your itchy band noodles into the microwave, and we pop that bad boy out, and within 30 seconds we're blown on and then eating it. God only knows how much radiation is in a bowl of those noodles.
Yeah. Process terrible food for you anyway.
I can't eat almost anything out of the microwave. I just never liked it. I never got into it. It doesn't have even anything to do with being awake, because I haven't been awake that long. I just always thought the food was so disgusting.
Teflon, nonstick. I will never cook in a Teflon coated pan again. The off gassing, and it's just absolutely nasty.
Isn't that a bisphenol A type surface as well on the Teflon coated pans? Gender bender type.
Yeah. And then see, that's another thing too, is that there's just so much everywhere that a guy could get absolutely neurotic, or you just, you know what, go back to the way, just remember I don't know how old you guys are, but remember 1950, 1960, before all the conveniences, like whatever happened to, you know, making popcorn with oil in a pot. And, you know, my brother and I used to sit there and watch that first kernel waiting for it to pop. And then when it popped, it was ready to throw the rest in. And that was fun. Now, if our microwave isn't in a bag and done in 3 minutes, we're like, why is it taking so long? We're in such an immediate society that we've given up, you know, that instant gratification. We've given up the ability to, you know, even plant, God forbid, we plant something in our backyard, watch it grow and harvest it and eat it, you know, like grandma used to make the vine ripened tomatoes and whatnot.
Nobody
now
cares. I mean, you could tell 50 people tomorrow how bad a microwave is for you. It'd be like trying to tell them 9/11 or something else. They'll laugh at you, you know?
Well, exactly. It's you know?
You know what's funny to me is this is the worst one though, is the diet sodas and the skinny chicks that are going around drinking them with aspartame in them and all this, all these other sweeteners. And to me, that's, you know, you're right there. It's just, you could, if 10 or 20 minutes after drinking a diet soda, oftentimes you'll get like a restless leg syndrome feeling or a headache. And that's neurological problems, and that's what, you know, this stuff is doing to you when you're, you know.
It causes all sorts of problems. Dude, and you know what will happen, guys? It's just like with autism. What they'll do is they'll try and make up new terms and new diseases that don't exist to explain away what the real problems that they cause.
Fibromyalgia is a fake disease.
Exactly. So, well, we covered a few things. I know we were going to get into Big Pharma. I don't know, maybe Justin, if you have anything you want to lead on, or Chris, or whoever wants to go. I mean, why don't we talk about Big Pharma a little while we're on, unless we got a little more to say on this.
I know that, like, I've had some experience with different pharmaceuticals, and, they're, you know, I mean, we talk about, you know, are they going to they're going to build camps, they're going to put people in camps and exterminate people, or they're going to, you know, these different scenarios, Russian troops, on. And
they don't need to.
Yeah, why would they need to when you got people like, I know all these people that are on these different drugs and stuff, and they're killing people. They're like, they blow your kidney, all these psychotropic drugs and stuff. Blow your kidneys out within like a year, you know, like Depakote and lithium, and then like you know, I just heard my sister's ex is now on Depakote. You know, it's like, well, if he stays on that, I told her to tell him. I said he just expect to go on dialysis soon. You know, it's just. People are just dropping dead like flies off of this crap. I've known at least two people personally. I know them that have died from taking pharmaceuticals.
I had two friends that died in one day. They weren't even hanging out together. Both died last New Year's. Two good friends, and fucking, you know, it's crazy how big, especially coincides with the invasion of Afghanistan. Now all of a sudden,
God, that's what it is. And look at everybody's on the opiates, and where's it coming from? Well, 90% of it, at least what we're told, comes from Afghanistan now since we invaded. And how long have all these people had these pill problems and heroin problems around here?
Yep.
I don't know, 5 to 10 years? You think that's a coincidence? That's a huge drug dealing operation. That's exactly. What that is.
Hey, where are you guys at? You guys, like, y'all are up in the New England area, right? Up around,
we're not
like
really
Boston.
That close, actually. Do you know where Boston is?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm about 25 miles to the north of Boston, so I'm closer to the New Hampshire border, but I'm in Massachusetts. Justin's down in Connecticut. We know you're in Oklahoma, right? And Brian is from Canada.
Okay, you guys see, I see this here in my hometown here. It's the boom industry is clinics. Medical clinics and dialysis and all that. They're just popping up like mushrooms everywhere, all around town. And they have been for the last, I don't know, about five, I've noticed it like within the past 5 years.
You know what else plays a big part of that too is energy drinks. But yeah, go ahead, back to that. Energy drinks kills your kidneys also.
Yeah, so the dialysis clinics are like all over the place now. I don't know how many they are. I have to maybe look it up.
Yeah, I used to bring my grandfather to dialysis every week, and there was some very young people in there. I was like, you know, surprised to see people in their 40s in dialysis. My grandfather was 85 when he was going there, you know?
Guys, think of the stuff we know now, and if we could have talked our family out of it. Like, don't do these procedures. Try doing these healthy things first. At least try this. At least try that.
Right.
I mean, there's so many healthy alternatives before you go down. I mean, just see how, just, and we've spoken on this before, and I don't know enough about it, and if somebody wants to call me out and call me an idiot, fine, because I'm not that educated on it, but I think chemotherapy, I mean, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you're going to go and radiate the rest of your cells to kill one cell to die in a couple of years.
Right.
Wouldn't you be better off trying to make your body healthy and fight it yourself?
Here's the best analogy I heard.
That makes
for
them a ton of money. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it makes them a ton of money.
The best analogy I've ever heard for chemotherapy is really you're nuking a whole city to kill one guy. You know, is pretty much what you're doing. And you know how many times people come out of it and you know they have none of their other organs. You know, they kill all their other organs just trying to, you know, get rid of that one tumor or whatever.
And they almost never survive, and they die. Little kids, I see it all.
Yep.
I'm from Boston, dude. They all go to Boston. They go to Dana-Farber.
Right.
The Red Sox do all these little special things with them. You see these kids. You get to see them on the fundraisers, dude. It's so sad. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're so committed into indoctrinating us with these wrong and evil ideas, and they're going to have kids die over and everything? I mean, it's unbelievable.
If any of you guys watched the Cancer Report?
No, tell us about it.
Like, it's basically, remember when we were getting back into how the Rockefellers took over and the elite took over the educational system? Back in the early 1900s, the Rockefellers held, I believe it was $1 million or $5 million donation in front of Harvard Medical School, and they said, hey, you want this money? And they're going, well, yeah. And they say, great, we're going to give you this money, but here's the curriculum that you're going to teach. And they basically commandeered the healthcare system from that point. There was a Nobel Peace Prize awarded, I think it was in 1935, for the cure of cancer, but it was quickly squashed. And actually, the guy who was ultimately awarded that Nobel Peace Prize was deemed to be an idiot, and I believe he was institutionalized. Many have been over the years.
Was that Raymond Rife?
No, it started with a B. It was, I want to say Brzezinski, but that's the wrong guy.
It's Brzezinski. I think it's spelled a different way. I know you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. That's B U R Z Y N S K I instead of the. Right.
So there's the Gerson therapy, and now sadly enough that if you want an alternative,
looked into the Gerson? The whole Gerson thing, is that legit? Or?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It's
a
legit.
Lot of people
absolutely
believe in it. A lot of people I know have read the whole book and told me you need to read this book. This is legit.
Yeah, how about Rick Simpson running from the cure? You know, the Phoenix Tears thing of cannabis, and you know, and I'm not sure it's going to stop stage 4 cancer, but if you have a problem with diabetes or or stage 1 something or you know whatever else, or just preventative, you know that cannabis is one of the best medicines there is.
Absolutely.
That's why they try it out more, because it has so many great uses, and it would put so many other industries at danger, because it can be used for so many things. So, and you know, of course, they want to tax it, they want to control it. They, it's crazy, man. These people are smart.
If
they
have a natural remedy, and you can't call it a cure now, if you have a natural remedy, even Mike Adams on Natural News or any of these, you know, alternative holistic and or whatever sites, vitamin B17, vitamin C, the MMS that I was talking about earlier cures cancer, hemp, like cannabis oil cures cancer, all kinds of phytonutrients cure cancer, you know, like I'll call him God. God, in my opinion, has put everything we need to sustain life here on this planet. We, in our greed and our corrupt minds, have wanted to basically take it all for ourselves. Now, like with raw almonds, raw unpasteurized almonds, which have now been basically banned in the United States and in Canada.
Oh yeah, they're almost illegal. They made them put a thing on there like they're a doctored product basically.
Yeah, because you cannot make a health claim with a natural product. The FDA says that if you want to make a health claim, you have to go through.
Yeah, because they said it was good for your heart, right? Is that what it was?
Clinical trials, so that they're trying to outlaw it. In many cases in the UK, supplements are being outlawed, and that's soon to be in the United States and in Canada, where alternative therapies. Now, if you're saying here, take this for, you know, my daughter is a great example. Was asthmatic, and had all kinds of menstrual cramps and stuff. You know, girl problems, and the solution to that is about 6,000 to 8,000 international units or IUs of vitamin D. Well, if you go to and you get a good food source of vitamin D, and she takes now 6,000 IUs, so 6 little gel caps a day of vitamin D, hasn't had a puff on her steroidal inhaler since then, hasn't had any menstrual cramps whatsoever, and it's a friggin' vitamin, but it's just giving her body what it needs to heal itself. You know, but yet the doctor wants, well, you got cramps here. Take this Gardasil vaccine because we need to protect you against HPV. And by the way, here's some more steroids and here's some more this and here's some more that. You know, it's absolutely criminal.
You know what bothers me is the fact that they're actually giving HPV to boys now. Now, boys can't even catch HPV.
And this is after it's already killed girls in Texas and everywhere else, and we know the Rick Perry story. And I actually did a show when I used to do on a different network. Maybe I'll play the archive sometime, where I actually called out a bunch of the people in California where they signed this bill. Where they were gonna get, you know, make it law, so all the girls would have to get the HPV vaccine. And I had a list of the payouts that they got from Merck. Merck Vaccine Company actually paid these people, and they took money like $5,000, $3,000. One guy did it. He put his name on the paper for $300 fucking dollars.
Yep.
He signed the legislation.
That was like the other, too, guys.
I'll have that up sometime this week. I gotta find it. I have it though.
What was the health bill that went through last year? Same thing with that. There was a list of how much these people got paid by different lobbyists, and like Brian was saying, you know, this is a big bill. So I mean, the smallest that someone took here was like $2,000, but there were some people that took like as much as like $150,000, you know, just to just to, you know, put, some people, I think, was close to $800,000 or whatever. And they were just buying their, you know, their signature, you know, buying their vote. And, you know, and that's a big thing. Of course, there's an agenda, but you know, that's these little, you know, companies, you know, they're it's greed, too. And they know that the human nature is greedy in these situations. They take advantage of it. And it's the people at the top are obviously very smart to figure out, you know, how to run this shit. They've been doing it for a long time.
We need our solutions, you know what I mean? We need solutions, and that's what the alternative media never gives us, or the regular media, or any of these fake truthers. And that's what I feel you guys try to do, and other people that I try and friend on here, and that, and that's why it's good and constructive that we do shows like this, you know what I mean?
Brian,
back to the cancer real quick. Sorry, Justin, I'll get back to you. One second. Back to the cancer real quick. How many, you know, with these cancer oils and everything that can be cured, how many percentage, if you were to guess, of the amount of cancer out there, what percentage of cancer do you think could be cured naturally if you got to it in time? 50%? 100%. 90%? 10%?
100%. No, 100%.
100% of cancer could be cured.
Yeah.
That's your opinion.
My opinion is it could either be prevented. You see, the thing
right.
is that
That's
we have processes. My father had a farm.
What if it's after you already have it, because a lot of people eat the processed food, whatever, and then you have it and you need to cleanse your body. What do you think the percentages are that people can actually get rid of this naturally?
If it were me and I were diagnosed with cancer, I would be, mind you, I'm taking steps that I have absolutely no intention of ever getting cancer. But if God forbid I was ever diagnosed with it, I would say that my chances of recovery would be 100%, because I know all of the right things to do. You know, there's even intravenous vitamin C protocols that a guy with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, I mean, was given days to live. And his family was fighting at the hospital to get this guy hooked up to a vitamin C drip. And the doctors all like, no. And they finally somehow won. And they had to literally fight in court to get this done. And they hooked him up to a vitamin C drip. And it was high quality food form vitamin C, cured. So, you know, vitamin B17 shots, cannabis oil, all these different things
I believe
are there.
You. That's why I'm asking you. I know you've researched it a lot more. I believe you. I believe that almost just about any cancer, unless, I mean, obviously if it's in such late stages that you really can't do much about it, I really think there's a natural cure for all of it. And they run these people out of town, you know? They run them out of the country. They jail them. They make them look nuts. They make them look like kooks. They call it, you know, that's quackery medicine, you know, just like they do with everything else.
Hey, Brian, remember we talked about I got rid of my eyeglasses.
Yeah.
End of February. Yeah, and then I'm at the point now where I just got just a slight blur, and then if I get outside in the direct sunlight and stuff, it's a sunny day, I see just perfect, and I got these like flashes of clarity that like are longer and longer now. So. Like, I don't need, I could function just fine without glasses. I haven't put my glasses on since the end of February, and I was, like, severely nearsighted.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what else you did? You did something else to your mouth that's very interesting, and something that I personally want to do myself. I've actually been doing a little bit here and there, not like you did, but why don't you briefly tell these guys what you did about the metal in your mouth and everything?
Yeah, I got all of my. I had 11 fillings, amalgam fillings in my mouth, and I went and got them all taken out, and the other material, composite material, put in Tijuana.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's
so
a hell of a lot cheaper.
What he was doing.
Yeah, it was. They practice they take all the precautions with the mercury to put the dental dam in. They use the vacuum thing with the water and all that. Is Dr. Solario that's in Tijuana. And it was real easy getting down. I mean, well, once you're in San Diego, you go to Old Town, you take the shuttle down to the trolley down to San Ysidro, and then you walk across the footbridge and you're right there at the Mexico border. Go across, get a cab, bam, you're there. You just hand them a printout off the internet that's got the directions in Spanish and English, and took me right over there. The dentist spoke perfect English. Got in there, got it done within Friday, Saturday, then they were closed Sunday, and I came back Monday, and it was all done. And cost a fraction of what it would cost here. Now, if you go to, like, a holistic dentist that's going to take all the precautions with a mercury and you do it, it's when I priced it here, it was, like, nearly $1,000 a tooth.
Yeah.
And I got it all done, all 11 fillings taken out, replaced for $820.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And they did an excellent job. I haven't had any problems whatsoever since then. And
you know what's crazy about that is you know how too they also talk about, you know, American doctors and dentists being so much better than, you know, in Mexico and everything else. And that just goes to prove that, you know, right there, it's just fear mongering to keep people from going out of the country.
Exactly.
It's total fear mongering, because it was the best experience I've had with a dentist in my life. I don't ever remember it being that easy, in there, out, really professional, really, just, you know, no pain, you know, gave me the local anesthetic. I didn't get, sedation, you know, like a lot of dentists, like, will want to give you the, like nitrous oxide or something. You don't really need that. I didn't need it at all. I mean, they don't use that there because, you know, you can get, you know, you don't get that. I didn't have that sick feeling afterwards. You know, you get kind of nauseous and all that. Didn't have all that.
I'll tell you what. I got five teeth pulled. I got four impacted wisdom teeth pulled, and another back molar pulled. And I didn't have the. I just had a local anesthetic. And yeah, it sucks. But come on, people put themselves through tattoos and everything else. You know, if something like that. It's, you know, beneficial.
It's now, so bad to have the aluminum and stuff like that in your mouth. I mean, just get it out. I mean, if you can get... But how good do we know these other ceramic fillings and stuff are? I mean, have you researched into that at all? What did you replace your fillings with? I didn't even ask you that. Did you leave them, like bare? Did you fill them with ceramic? Like, what's in there now?
Some kind of a composite other... dental material.
So
and
it's the white stuff that they use.
The white stuff. And I'm not 100% sure about it, but you know, looking at a lot of different stuff, and I was looking at the material data safety sheet or whatever it's called that gives you all the different, you know, dangers of that material and whatever. And it's when it's set, it's supposedly allegedly inert, and meaning it doesn't put anything out. So I just kind of weighed that in the balance. So, well, it's probably considerably better than having the most toxic non-radioactive substance on the planet in my mouth.
Right.
That's what I was kind of going off of. But I do plan, I've been thinking about this, and I'm looking into this, like, that you can actually grow a new set of teeth. So I think I may even go a step further with it and start gradually pulling my teeth and try to grow them back. I know of someone. I don't know them that well personally, but they had a third set of teeth come in.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you can show us on this at all? Any pictures, documentation, anything? Is he somebody we can talk to ever? Could he ever call in? I'm not saying it's not happening. I'd love to hear about it, though.
Well, this guy, he's me and my sister have different dads. We're like half brother, half sister. But it's on her side of the family, like her cousin. And I don't know them that well. But she told me after I brought that up that, oh, yeah, Cousin Rocky, yeah, he had a third set of teeth come in.
Oh, so
I said, oh, really?
That could be bullshit then, too.
It could be, yeah, it could be. But the way it was told me, I believe it. It's probably not that unusual. I mean, it's probably not something that's, like, totally that rare.
It's probably not impossible, but I don't think it happens too often.
You know what? We should go. You know, maybe just do a search on it.
Guys, we never know, man. We never know until we look. Yeah. Who only knows? You know.
But I got see how often it happens. You know, it might be something that now is there a certain way that you know is there a certain thing that you would do to help this happen or what?
Well,
you know,
with with the teeth, like now the stuff I've looked at online. Like, you know, if you type it into Google, third set of teeth or grow your teeth naturally or something like that, you'll get different sites. And it's like this nutritional program that you have to, like, really tighten up your diet and eat certain foods. And you'll get the nutrition that will stimulate your body into, you know, regenerating those new teeth. I mean, sharks do it. You know, I mean, like... Different animal,
but that's a different species altogether.
It's a different species, but why can't human beings now with this with the Bates method of the natural eyesight cure? Like, you know, I've had this tremendous improvement in my eyesight, and according to the stuff I've read about it, it said you don't have to stop with 20/20 vision. You can even improve it above and beyond that. So I believe that human beings could have potentially the best eyesight of any species on the planet.
We might be capable of so much more than we know. Like,
we just
physically,
don't know.
And we're
we
being
just,
held down by all this bullshit they're giving us.
Yep.
Guys, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick 3-minute break. Everybody stay with us. We're just going to play a song. We're going to come right back. And when we come back, I want Brian, if you could, because I know you're our guest tonight, maybe if whatever else you wanted to lead on tonight. I don't know what else is on your mind tonight.
Before you go to break, I posted on the Real News Facebook page.
Yep.
A video called "The Truth About Amalgam Fillings," and it goes exactly what Chris was just discussing, the proper extraction methods and what exactly mercury does when it's in your mouth. And people used to think, well, once a filling is in, it tends to the toxic effects dissipate over time. Mercury the filling.
I'm going to actually post it in our group because people read the group more than anything. Why don't I get you in the group? Let me add you to our Facebook group. I'm going to add you right now. Oh, you're already a member. Put it in the group instead of the page.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Most people don't read the page as much, I don't think. And people are always in the group all day talking on it.
Right.
I appreciate you putting it in the group. But
yeah, no problem. And I'll also post that natural cancer. It's 10,000 times more powerful than chemo.
Do that. Post a couple things. Take a couple links. We're going to take a quick 3 to 4 minute break, guys. Just play one song. We'll be right back. You know, we got a few more things to get into and whatever. We'll be right back. 3 or 4 minutes. I'm Justin Cook, Brian Stavely, our guest, Brian Hamilton. And we're also joined tonight. We've been blessed to be joined by Chris Kendall, who also has his own show on Talk Shoe Radio Network. We put his link, if you look in the comments, you can see his link there. It'll stay in the comments. And I'm not talking about the chat. If you go below the chat and look at the comments, it's a little easier to see right there. What do you guys want to, where do you want to go from here? How about you, Brian? You're our guest tonight. I feel we should give you a little more time to say what's on your mind.
I'm just enjoying the dialogue. I find it so refreshing. I'm an admin on a page on Facebook that quite often
I know
post...
which page you speak of too.
You know, sometimes even the people that awake are fast asleep.
Man.
They just don't have
that
a
group
clue.
Is really up and down, some of those people.
Let me say something. Brian, I give it to this guy because I'm an admin on the same page. And there's some very awakened people on there. And there's some people on there that think they're awake and you just want to hit them with a brick. You know what was the most annoying thing? Was how many people spammed us with that Kony 2012 thing. And that had to be one of my most like heartbreaking moments to see how far back we are when a page is called, you know, about their eyes being open and these people are posting Kony 2012 still. Come on. You know, not the admins of the page, of course, but people, you know, patrons of the page.
No, I understand that, but it's even, you know, you mentioned something about no planes or anything that's not. See, I'm getting back to this whole, I know the truth, and those two words of an open mind slamming shut.
Yep.
I know. And these guys have locked onto, you know, whether it's AJ or Ick or whatever, Rens, they found their guru, and and they bow at the altar, and whatever these particular individuals say.
Why can't they shake it like we did? I don't get it. Why can't
I don't know. And I get back to my original statement of, I need to allow people to be as ignorant as I once was.
I understand, but all it takes is to look at some more objective material and see that
people won't. I've watched your dialogue with people like, come on, you know, show me a survivor. Show me, you know, even the Social Security, the list.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like
which Chris Kendall himself actually called on. Chris, why don't you speak on the SSDI real quick?
Oh, it used to be available to the public. Now they've stuck it behind the Ancestry.com. They stuck it behind their paid section. And I don't know if it was a response to that. I know it got picked up on some reporter did a article, and they mentioned the video in the article. And I don't know. And then there was supposedly some congresswoman that was looking into the matter, you know. And
from New York, I believe.
Yeah, I posted it the other day. And didn't you call? We do know that the average of just in America every day 6,000 people die. So that would tell you on 9/11, if you were to be close to the average, which you should be, there should be 9,000 dead people, but there's not.
Well,
6,000.
Well, no, but for New York City, wasn't it something like 600 and something like
it was,
that?
It was like 400 people or something. It was
exactly.
So what I did,
Brian,
is,
I didn't mean to cut you off to go into Chris.
No.
Did you have another
just,
point on that?
I'm just getting back to the if the lie about that, you know. Within the truth movement, if there's that much deception and skullduggery, then when you take a look beyond the veil, my question is, why is there so much deception within the quote-unquote truth movement? What is the agenda behind that?
Because it's not a truth movement at all. It's a propaganda movement.
Right, but where what is the agenda behind all of these people that call themselves truthers and birthers? Where are all those people soon to be led to?
They're right here in this phone call and in this chat. We're the real truth movement.
You guys want to know
four of us left? Come on. There's more than that. There's people listening.
I know there is. I know there is. Right. There's probably thousands. But I'm saying
you guys. Yes.
The
I call us
the
1%.
They're all controlled. They're all gatekeepers. All the ones you know.
I call us the 1%ers anyway. Pretty much, that's pretty much it. The 1%ers, you know, it's pretty much that much that can see through, at least, you know, 95% of the bullshit. It's just insane though. You know how they trade in one shepherd for another. It's like, you know, you get these people out of years of you know, Glenn Beck and all this other stuff, and they go and they think that, wait, Alex Jones is going to be, you know, just because he lets a few more facts out, he's better, you know, he's...
And they're not even really facts most of the time. It's usually
bullshit
stories once you really look into them.
And leaves you chasing ghosts, too, you know, and it doesn't get in... It doesn't even say who the elite are ever, you know, never just says, you know, hey, just the globalists and the Bilderbergers. Come on, Bilderbergers is a round table group that is obviously told by people higher than that. You know, they're not going to let
Justin, I'm sorry. You know, I hate doing this to you, but we have another caller, so we want to put him right on. Hold on 1 second, okay?
Yep.
Caller, you're live on the air with Justin Cook, Brian Stavely, Chris Kendall, and Brian Hamilton. How can we help you?
How you guys doing tonight, fellas?
We're doing great,
well.
Man. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind, buddy?
This is Jeff. Yeah, the show like always. I've only caught the past 45 minutes. I was doing something, and it was a little rude for me to be on there. I'll catch you again later. But I want to go back and listen. I just wanted to make a quick point. You know, I had this argument with somebody today, just trying to get somewhat awake, but not really awake, you know. Really
are you on a speakerphone, sir?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get off of it.
Yeah, you got to get off of it.
It was my headset. I'm outside waiting for a train.
Yeah, you sound better now. You're good enough now. Go ahead.
Okay. What I was saying was I got an argument with some today that was semi-awakened, but not really, you know. They haven't really shifted through the bullshit. And when I started bringing up things that were a little touchy, you know, when you slap the truth in somebody's face, they never want to get, you know, without doing their own research. They want to just dismiss you without anything. But what maybe you guys could start doing on your downtime for the show is start calling these congressmen, you know, the congresswoman you were just talking about. Record the fucking thing. Get some video on it, you know? If you have video from real people that don't have an agenda with the media and aren't affiliated with it, you know, that might hit home with some people. You could play little sound bites in between on the breaks or during the show, you know, and that's documented information that we can share with others and bring to the masses.
I think it's a good idea for one reason, because of what you're saying, by bringing that to the masses and showing that these people are...